This is Diane Horn, your host on the sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters on KEXP Seattle 90.3 FM, by mobile app, and on the web at kexp.org. My guest this morning is Bruce Spaight, Executive Director of Environment Washington and State Director of Environment Washington Research and Policy Center. Bruce Spaight is here to tell us about the advantages of electric buses and to discuss the 2018 report, Electric Buses, Clean Transportation for Healthier Neighborhoods and Cleaner Air. Welcome.
Thanks for having me.
Would you like to begin by saying a few words about Environment Washington and the Environment Washington Research and Policy Center?
Sure, I'd be happy to. Well, Environment Washington, we're a statewide environmental advocacy organization, membership-based, fighting for clean air, clean water, and open spaces here in Washington. And we're part of a national federation of 29 state environment groups. So in addition to fighting for clean air, clean water, and open spaces in Washington, we join with our partners in other states to have strong federal policy to protect our environment as well.
Before we focus on the report, would you remind us of the advantages of buses overall?
Absolutely. We know that public transportation is a critical part of our infrastructure, not only to get people to school, work, and recreation, but from an environmental perspective, it's a huge factor in reducing our climate emissions, in reducing vehicle miles traveled, and helping to reduce congestion in our cities. So it really plays a critical role in our transportation system. And by increasing the investment in public transportation, we can help to alleviate all of those problems. So it's really a problem solver and something that we're encouraging greater investment in.
What is the purpose of your report on electric buses?
Well, buses are a huge source of climate emission. And so by electrifying or transitioning our bus fleet, heavy-duty vehicles on the road, to clean, electric, zero-emission vehicles, we can dramatically reduce climate emissions as well as harmful air pollution that comes commonly from buses, which are overwhelmingly powered by diesel, a very polluting source of energy for our buses, and especially dangerous considering that we have a lot of school buses on the road and kids are particularly vulnerable to particulate matter from diesel pollution, and they're standing right next to those exhaust fumes when they board buses. So by electrifying our fleet, we can make huge strides in cleaning up our environment, reducing climate emissions, and protecting public health, especially among vulnerable populations like children.
Before we go into detail, would you give an overview of what you evaluated in your report?
Sure. Well, we looked at transit and school bus fleets, the two primary sources of bus transportation in the country, how they're powered, and if we were to transition our transit and school bus fleets to all electric, zero emission vehicles, how much we would reduce climate pollution in particular, but also talked about the benefits of making our air cleaner and protecting public health. And just to give you some of the specific information, we found 95% of school buses in this country are powered by diesel. 60% of transit buses are powered by diesel. So we're talking the overwhelming majority powered by an incredibly polluting, not only from a public health perspective, but from a climate perspective, source of energy. And if we transitioned those fleets, what we estimate and found in our report is that we would reduce climate pollution by transitioning buses by 5.3 million tons each year. And by transitioning all transit buses that are currently powered by diesel to all electric zero emission vehicles, we would reduce climate pollution by 2 million tons per year, as well as all the public health benefits of reducing particulate matter that poses a health threat to everyone, but again, especially children. So we're talking very significant reductions in climate and air pollution and a much cleaner environment.
Let's talk more about the pollutants that are emitted when diesel burns. What are the pollutants?
So we're talking about soot and smog pollution from diesel pollution. So this is particulate matter that lodges in the lungs and causes respiratory illness. There also are cancer-causing agents in diesel pollution, studies have found. So, you know, this is a very dangerous way to power our bus fleet. And, you know, again, by transitioning to zero emission, all electric bus vehicles, we have none of those emissions. And especially if we're powering it with clean energy, that's really, as we like to say, the golden ticket, because we have a zero emission bus that's powered with, you know, if we can power it with wind and solar and clean renewable sources of energy, then we really have made enormous strides in reducing climate pollution and air pollution and protecting our environment.
To what extent has diesel technology become cleaner over time?
Well, there certainly have been improvements. However, we don't have diesel-powered buses that don't emit air pollution and climate pollution. So it is an imperfect technology, even though it's improved over the years. And now that we have a viable alternative that is zero emission, that's why we're calling on transit agencies and cities and counties, whoever's responsible for overseeing the bus systems, and of course, in the case of schools, it's school districts and school boards, to make this transition, as we have to replace our buses. And so what we're calling on them to do is, as they engage in the regular replacement of their bus fleet, rather than taking baby steps that still emit air pollution, because there are alternatives like, you know, natural gas, as well as cleaner diesel. While those are cleaner, now that we have viable technology and buses on the market that are zero emission and all electric, let's just take that step as we replace our fleets in our transit and school bus systems and have zero emission vehicles. It is the best technology for public health and the environment, and increasingly affordable for communities to invest in.
Do electric buses make sense economically for school districts and transit agencies?
They do. It's actually really exciting, some of the studies that are coming out now showing how much electric buses can save transit agencies and school districts over the life cycle of the bus. There's no getting around that right now, purchasing an all-electric school or transit bus, the upfront cost of purchasing it is more expensive than a diesel bus. But I think the way to measure this, since we're talking about a public investment, is the life cycle cost. And what we found through putting together this report is that there are a number of examples across the country where communities, transit systems, and school districts are investing in electric buses and actually finding savings. So, for example, the Chicago Transit Authority estimates that they save $25,000 per year on all electric buses in fuel costs. Of course, if we can power it with electricity that's cheap, that's cheaper than the diesel or whatever other fuels are powering our buses. And then also for school buses, the Clinton Global Initiative had a study which found that on average, school buses per year save $2,000 in fuel cost and $4,400 in maintenance cost. And this is a huge savings, maintenance of all electric vehicles, because the braking systems last longer, they have fewer parts, they don't require oil changes or any fossil fuels. It's much easier to maintain an all-electric bus than it is a traditionally diesel-powered bus. And so transit agencies and school districts are finding big savings in maintenance and fuel costs. And when you add that up over the life cycle of a bus, what the Clinton Global Initiative found with their study was that school buses, they have paid off through the savings, the added expense, upfront expense of the school bus, within 13 years, and they, on average, save over the life cycle of the bus $31,000. So the life cycle savings are great, and again, that's really the way we should be measuring this rather than just looking at the upfront cost. The other hope, of course, on affordability is, like any new technology, as we see it come to market in greater numbers, there's an economy of scale and the cost will go down. We saw that with LED light bulbs, LED TVs, cell phones. This is a relatively new technology, but viable. As it grows and enters the market in greater numbers, we're hopeful that those costs will only come down and become more affordable than they already are.
I'm Diane Horn, and my guest is Bruce Spaight, Executive Director of Environment Washington and State Director of Environment Washington Research and Policy Center. Our topic is the report, Electric Buses, Clean Transportation for Healthier Neighborhoods and Cleaner Air. And you are tuned to the sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters on listener-powered KEXP, 90.3 FM by mobile app, and on the web at kexp.org. To what extent have transit agencies begun adding electric vehicles to their fleets?
Well, it's exciting that we're here in King County because we recently lauded King County as a real leader on this. King County Metro Transit has committed to purchasing 120 electric buses by 2020 and have their entire fleet be electric and powered by clean energy as early as 2034 and no later than 2040. That's exactly the kind of leadership that we need. King County is demonstrating that this is possible to completely transition our transit systems. I mean, we're talking a large transit system that is transitioning to an all-electric, zero-emission bus fleet in a relatively short period of time. I'd say that King County really stands out as the leader, and we need more transit systems across the country doing that. But, you know, we're seeing systems from Chicago to LA to New York invest in electric buses. This is a growing movement. And we also know that there are school districts that increasingly look to electrify their buses. So it's happening more and more, and we want to encourage that. And really, we want cities, counties, school districts, transit systems setting goals and making commitments, because that sends a signal to those manufacturers to really invest in making the technology more efficient than it already is, more affordable than it already is, and it will help to accelerate the transition, which we desperately need to do to address the climate crisis. After all, transportation, I haven't mentioned, is the largest source nationally, and especially here in Washington, of climate change pollution. So if we want to solve the climate crisis, we have to tackle transportation. This is one strategy to get there.
How many electric buses are actually on the road right now, just roughly?
Oh, that's a great question. I don't know that I have a good figure for you of the exact number nationally on the road. But what we do know is that we're talking less than 1% of the buses on the road right now being all electric. So it is a small fraction, and that's why we really need to accelerate this transition. You know, again, 95% of school buses are diesel, 60% of transit buses are diesel nationally. So we have a lot of work to do to make this transition. And we know that one of the biggest challenges to confronting climate pollution is making this transition in the transportation sector. I mean, most of our vehicles are powered by dirty fossil fuel-based sources of energy. But by having transit systems like King County Metro Transit make this commitment, again, we need more transit systems and communities making that commitment, because that is really what is driving this transition and, again, demonstrating that it's possible and can be done.
To what extent are public schools nationwide making the transition to an electric fleet?
We're seeing a slower transition in school districts, but we are seeing pilot programs in California and Massachusetts to help school districts invest in all-electric buses. And we also have had a few school districts here in Washington reach out to us that are exploring all-electric buses and looking to make that transition. So I would say we have more work to do among our school bus fleet. And it's been slower. We've been a little slower to the game among school buses, but we are starting to see that transition. And one of the things we're exploring now is how can we support school districts making that transition and paying for the buses up front, since, again, they do cost more. And one solution is we have $112 million coming to Washington State through the VW Dieselgate settlement. That's a lot of money. Up to 15% of that can be committed to charging infrastructure. And this is important to talk about with regard to electric buses or any electric transportation. We need to have the charging infrastructure in place. And we're also encouraging transit systems and school districts, as they replace buildings where they're storing their buses, to invest in the charging infrastructure so they can more easily make this transition. But that 15% in the VW Dieselgate settlement, up to 15% can be used for charging infrastructure. We're encouraging this state, and they have announced plans to commit that maximum 15% to the charging infrastructure. But then the remaining amount could go towards helping to offset the cost of more electric, all-electric transit in school buses in the state. And we're encouraging them to put a portion, if not a significant amount, towards that, because that will have immediate public health benefits in our communities, as well as, of course, help to reduce our climate emissions here in Washington State.
To what extent are Seattle public schools making efforts to go toward electric buses?
They've been exploring it, and we have started to have a few conversations there, and we're encouraging them to, of course, make this transition and, similar to King County Metro Transit, make a commitment to it. We'd like to see them do that. I think right now it's really an exploratory phase where they're trying to figure out how could they do it, what's the viable path forward, how do they pay for the upfront cost of the buses and make that transition. So it's very early stages, but we're eager to work with Seattle Public Schools, and for that matter, any school district in the state of Washington, to make the transition to an all-electric bus fleet, because, again, our kids are going to reap the benefits in public health outcomes, as well as, of course, reducing climate pollution.
We've alluded a bit to this already, but what infrastructure will we need to support electric buses, and how hard will it be to actually put it in place?
Well, this is another big challenge, right? We need to have the charging infrastructure and ability to plug in a bus and for it to get a charge overnight so that it's ready to go in the morning. So that is just an investment we need to make. King County Metro Transit, when we did an event a couple of weeks ago over at their Bellevue base, have just installed their second fast charger for electric buses in the transit fleet. That's going to enable them to invest in more buses and make it easier to make this transition. But investing in fast chargers so that we can have a fleet of all electric buses charged and ready to go is a critical investment we need to make. And then just more broadly, as we work to electrify our transportation system, you know, for single occupancy vehicles, which of course is another area where we need to make this transition, we need the charging infrastructure if someone's driving from here to Spokane to get a charge along the way. But what's so exciting, and I think why this is such an exciting time, is I think we're really at a tipping point where we're not only seeing the range of vehicles dramatically increase, right? It's not uncommon now for, you know, we have buses that are getting over 200 miles on a single charge. We have electric single passenger vehicles that are getting, you know, up to 300 miles on a charge now. So the range of the vehicles is increasing and they can go farther than on a charge. But we're also seeing the chargers get faster with these fast chargers where rather than having to plug your vehicle or your bus in overnight, it takes even less time than that. You know, it can take an hour or less to charge a lot of these vehicles. So we're seeing vast improvements there, but we need to make the investment in the infrastructure so that we're actually able to charge the vehicles. That's a really critical investment for transit systems, school districts, and communities to be taking. And of course, just to stray from buses for a second, for single occupancy vehicles, we need to make sure that people can efficiently charge their vehicles at home. And so, you know, even looking at codes that as we're building new developments, that we have that infrastructure in place. We're calling on transit agencies and school districts as they retrofit or build new buildings to make that investment so they're EV ready, as we like to say. But, you know, we also need to do that with single family homes and apartments and condos as well. That infrastructure is critical to support the growth of electric vehicles and for us to make this transition.
How available are electric buses? To what extent are they being manufactured?
Well, there is a growing market there. We now have multiple options for transit and school buses. And so I would say the marketplace is growing, but, you know, again, another reason why transit systems and school districts and communities making a commitment is so important. Not only does it help to accelerate their own plans to make this transition, but it sends a signal again to those manufacturers that we need you really investing in the research and technology to make this transition both as smooth as possible, but as quickly as possible and as affordable and economically viable, right? I mean, that's the other critical step here is to really invest in efficiencies that enable us to make this transition as quickly as possible.
You are tuned to the sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters on KEXP Seattle 90.3 FM by mobile app and on the web at kexp.org. I'm Diane Horn and my guest is Bruce Spate, Executive Director of Environment Washington and State Director of Environment Washington Research and Policy Center. Our topic is the report, Electric Buses, Clean Transportation for Healthier Neighborhoods and Cleaner Air. So what are your recommendations for speeding up the transition to electric buses?
Well, I've already alluded to a few of them. One is let's wisely invest the VW Dieselgate settlement money that's coming to Washington and make sure that we're not only investing that 15% in charging infrastructure, but that we're also making sure that a significant portion of it is going to transit and school buses, which is one of the things we can invest that money in. Also, we need additional grant and incentive programs at both the state and federal level that make it easier for transit systems and school districts and communities to invest in electrifying their bus fleets. But then, as I was just talking about, we're also calling on transit systems and school districts as they retrofit buildings to invest in the charging infrastructure and to make those investments. And then, as we've already said, one of our policy recommendations is set a goal like King County has done. King County's leadership is laudable. We presented an award to the King County executive a couple of weeks ago and really applaud King County and Metro Transit for the commitment they've made to a 100% all-electric, zero-emission transit fleet powered with clean energy. Again, this is the golden ticket. That is the gold standard, and that is what we need more and more transit systems, school districts, and communities doing. Setting those goals actually accelerate additional steps that these school and transit systems can take. I mean, it really forces them to come up with a plan if they make a commitment and set a goal. And that's exactly what King County Metro Transit is doing right now. And we really want to see more communities making that commitment so they come up with the plan and they make that transition as quickly as possible. So that, I mean, we'd like to see a future where by 2040, no later than 2050, we have an electric transportation system. We need to do it to solve the climate crisis as well as reduce all the dangerous air pollution that's coming out of a largely diesel-powered bus system across the country right now.
How long do you think the transition to an all-electric fleet nationwide is likely to take?
Well, I think that's up to us, right? I think it's viable that we could do it by 2040. That would be very aggressive, and there will certainly be challenges along the way. But I do think that's viable, but certainly no later than 2050. And one of the things we've recently launched is something we call Clean Car Communities, where we're calling on, you know, manufacturers to not sell internal combustion engines and sell instead only all electric zero emission vehicles starting in 2035. We're already seeing a few car manufacturers make that commitment. We have bus manufacturers that are putting more electric buses on the market. There are options out there for consumers, whether they're individuals like you and I looking to purchase a single occupancy vehicle or a transit or school bus system. But, you know, we really need to accelerate this transition and get serious about making it. And so I think it really comes down to a question of political will. Are we willing to make the investment? Are we willing to do what it takes to make this transition? And if we are, I think we can do it, you know, within a couple of decades, 20 to 30 years, which again is what we need to do. I mean, we really can't afford to not make that transition by 2050 if we want to solve the climate crisis. But let's do it even faster and reap all the climate and economic and environmental benefits that will come with that.
In your view, what most stands in the way of the conversion to an all-electric fleet?
Well, I think right now cost is a challenge. There's no question the upfront cost of the buses. As I've already said, and I'll, you know, reiterate, I think we really need to be looking at life cycle cost, right? Because that's what matters. That's the public investment. And the fact that we already have evidence showing that the life cycle cost of electric buses can be less than diesel-powered vehicles gives me a lot of hope and should frankly give any school district or transit agency that's looking to make a smart investment with public money hopeful and incentivized to make this transition. But there's no getting around that coming up with the money to make that upfront investment is one of the challenges. And I think the other big one is the charging infrastructure, which we've discussed, right? We need the infrastructure to charge the buses. If we don't have that, we can't power the vehicles. So those are really the two big challenges right now. But this gets right back to why we're urging communities to set goals, make commitments, and start making the transition. Because again, just like cell phones and LED TVs and LED light bulbs, which by the way, LED light bulbs, I think is a great example. I mean, of course, it's a much cheaper product, but we've seen over the last 10 years, a 94% reduction in the cost of LED light bulbs. And I think it's just a perfect example of where you have a technology that when it came to market originally, you know, maybe for the average consumer, it seemed like a pricey, even though it would save them money over the long run, upfront seemed like a pricey investment. Now, you know, we've seen the cost come down so much that it's really a no-brainer to invest in LED light bulbs. This is why we need to accelerate this transition and have transit and school buses make this investment, because again, it will help to lower the cost for everyone. We see this happen over and over again with new technology. Having more investment and having the cost come down will only make it easier for us to make the transition. But I think those are really the two big obstacles right now are the upfront cost and the charging infrastructure. If we can address those and have incentive and grant programs at the state and federal level, then it will help to support this transition and enable us to transition to an all-electric zero-emission bus fleet and transportation system generally.
Well, what's the message you'd like to leave our listeners with?
Our bus system and our transportation system is the largest source of climate pollution in the country, as well as a major air and water polluter. We have the technology to make the transition to a 100% electric transportation system. We need to get serious and busy in making that transition happen now. We cannot do it too quickly. The technology is there. The economic, environmental, and public health benefits are glaringly evident. Let's have more communities lead like King County is doing and really make this transition. We will all reap the benefits. Taxpayers will reap the benefit. Kids will reap the benefit in less exposure to toxic diesel pollution. And all of us will reap the environmental benefits of less air and water and climate pollution. We need to make the transition now. Let's do it.
Well, thanks so much for being here, Bruce.
Of course. Thanks for having me, Diane.
You are just listening to Bruce Spaight, Executive Director of Environment Washington and State Director of Environment Washington Research and Policy Center, speak about the report, Electric Buses, Clean Transportation for Healthier Neighborhoods and Cleaner Air, published in 2018 by Environment Washington Research and Policy Center, the Washburg Foundation, and the Frontier Group. For more information, check on the web at environmentwashington.org. Sustainability segment interviews are available as podcasts, along with KEXP's music podcasts. Go to the podcast section of KEXP's website at kexp.org. I'm Diane Horn. Thanks for listening, and be sure to tune in to the sustainability segment again next week on listener-powered 90.3 FM by mobile app and at kexp.org.